understand this whole thing, we are moving to production function, isoquant, economies of scale. So we are basically looking at properties of isoquant. Now, what are the properties of isoquant? So let's understand the properties of an isoquant. First thing that you have to remember is an isoquant must always slope downward from left to right. Now, when we say that an isoquant is downward sloping, what does it mean? It means that when we are increasing one unit, we are definitely decreasing the other unit. The reason given over here is, what happens if an isoquant has a positive slope? If it is moving upwards, what will happen? It means that with addition of one unit of factor X, and we are also increasing factor Y. See, when you are increasing both labor and machinery, you cannot be on the same isoquant. More of both factors will give you more output, which is not the right requirement of isoquant. So isoquant must be downward sloping. That means inverse relation. Second is, isoquant must always be convex to the point of origin. Convex to the point of origin. It cannot be concave. What happens if it is concave? If it becomes concave, it means what? With addition of one unit, more units of factor Y will be there. Correct? So we are increasing Y also. Matlab, we are increasing machinery and labor both. Then how can we have same output when we are increasing both? So it should be convex to the origin. No two isoquants can ever intersect each other. Because what happens? See, if an isoquant curve is having 15 units and say 20 units, and then we have a common point, that means we are trying to say that one same combination of labor and capital can give you 15 units also and 20 units also. You can never have two isoquants intersecting each other, because higher the isoquant, higher the output. Now, after understanding the nature of isoquant, we move to the second part of producer's equilibrium, which is isocost line. Now, isocost line is a straight line falling from one axis to the other. Factor Y and factor X, it looks like a straight line, it's like a triangle. Now, what does this triangle represent? It represents the maximum labor and maximum capital that can be acquired in a given budget. To understand producer's equilibrium, there are two ways that a producer is always looking for when they have to decide their production plans. First, maximize the output subject to a cost constraint. That means this is the cost. So if there is a, let's say there's a 1 lakh a budget, then in that 1 lakh, they have to select the combination of labor and capital which gives them the maximum output. So maximizing output with minimum cost or constant cost. Second is minimizing the cost subject to an output constraint. Now, what does this mean? How can a producer equilibrium be achieved with using these two combinations? Let's understand. This is the first graph, which is giving you an idea of maximizing the output subject to cost constraint. Here, this is your budget line NM. NM is a fixed budget line. Now, maximizing output, matlab in the given budget, the producer is looking for the higher and higher isoquant. So, when the budget is fixed, the higher isoquant which fits that budget will reach to producer's equilibrium. In the given graph, IQ2 is tangent to NM. So we say IQ2, which is tangent to NM, is giving us producer's equilibrium. We cannot go for IQ3 because it is beyond the budget. IQ1 is not selected because it is lower. It is giving us a lower output and it is within the budget. So this is an assumption that producer's equilibrium will be attained. Condition one, where they select the highest isoquant in a given budget line. Finally, we move to the next. We can have one more. Before I go to this theoretical, I can also take you to another part where we can make you understand that what if we want this second condition, minimizing the cost subject to an output constraint. In this case, what we will do, students, we can have more of these isoquant lines. And with more isoquant lines, we will try to have one isoquant. So one isoquant which would be fitting the least cost line can be explained. Okay. Finally, we go ahead to the last part of this, where we are talking about economies and diseconomies of scale. Economies and diseconomies of scale, they are explaining us that in every production process, there are certain advantages and disadvantages. So when there are economies of scale, when there are advantages, the company will always have increasing returns to scale. Whereas when there are difficulties, when there are problems, constraints, the company will experience diminishing returns to scale. Economies are the advantages, diseconomies are the disadvantages, and both are always operating in the business form. Internal economies. The economies get divided into internal and external. Here I have presented you internal economies. They are all the advantages which the firm is going to enjoy. Okay, and this will bring increasing returns to scale and it will reduce the average cost of production. So all internal economies get categorized into technical, managerial, commercial, financial and risk bearing. These are some of the technical economies, the advantages that will lead to large scale production and increasing returns, such as division and specialization of labor. When a company has specialized machinery, when they have good research and training, okay, bigger machines are always going to have higher mass production and lowering of cost. Mechanical advantages, linking processes, automation, where all the machineries are interlinked. So production is very fast, large scale production in minimum time. It is also cost saving. So we say the company is enjoying technical economies. Technical economies mein hamesha yaad rakhna hai, technology plays a very important role in increasing the production capacity. Next is managerial economies. Managerial economies is purely dealing with the management and administration. Like we say, large scale plants or a big organization are always enjoying this internal economies, because the best skilled professionals wants to go and work with such companies and organization. So they have experts, they have divisions, they have various departments. All these departments work independently, okay? And there's a total division of labor in management. Then we have commercial economies. Now commercial economies mein, we are always going to talk about large quantities where the company will have bargaining power. So when a company has mass production of 10 lakhs or 5 lakhs of let's say electronic products, then they will try to bargain and get the best cost for these raw material. Because they have a greater production capacity, they can sell it at a comparatively lower price. Okay, most of the products that are manufactured and sold, the advertisement cost, if they are spending even crores on advertisement, the sales that they are going to attain from the market is multiple times more than the cost they are bearing on advertisement. Similarly, the best ad agencies want to have a tie-up with such companies as projects. So companies enjoy commercial economies. Financial economies are all the advantages, like lower interest, they get better credit and finance because of company reputations. So this becomes very easy for the company to arrange for capital to run their organization. But there are also problems, okay? Risk-bearing economies are which is the external environment, like competition, government policies. So risks are always involved in large-scale production units. However, because of the large-scale production, internal economies, where the risk-bearing economies are strength to meet variation in demand. Because the organization is big, they have a very well-built-up research and development department, which helps in more accurate demand forecasting for the company. They are able to explore the markets on a larger scale, okay, and they can acquire various sources of acquiring material which helps them to minimize their risk much better than a new entrant or a small scale company. But company cannot do away with problems. The problems that they may face are sometimes the reasons for which the companies, in spite of putting in efforts, they may face decreasing returns to scale, our law of returns to scale. When efficiency starts moving towards inefficiency, so once the output is reached an optimum level, sometimes there may be mismanagement problems, supervision may become ineffective, administrative difficulties mostly are faced in large scale firms. Okay, competition may bring administrative difficulties, which may bring down the increasing returns and turn the production towards decreasing returns to scale. They may face industrial unrest because of a large manpower. There may be high cost of reconversion of their fixed assets. Okay, management may not be in a position to produce the required goods. There are chances that the company may face very high risk. Okay, costs are very high, large inventory. So like we had a situation of pandemic and post-lockdown, there was very large internal diseconomies which were faced by large-scale companies. There was large amount of inventory which was locked up. Okay, so this was a very expensive inventory cost, which led to huge losses for the firm. They may face increasing cost. Now, increasing cost, high demand for material. Okay, there's very huge demand. Their capital, labor requirements is also very high. So many a times it may be difficult for the companies to acquire the right type of material. That may lead to internal diseconomies. Like recently we had post-lockdown, there was a little, the supply of microchips was really running short in the market, which had affected most of the car manufacturing plants facing increasing cost of raw material, and that was but external diseconomies, not internal. Internal will be within the plant. Okay, so like capital, labor asking for higher wages in large scale organizations may lead to internal diseconomies. External. Now, internal economies and diseconomies are what are within the organization. External are beyond their control. So, external economies are like, for example, if many firms are located in one region, like you have the Silicon Valley. So, Silicon Valley is enjoying economies of concentration. You may have a lot of like Bandra Kurla complex in Mumbai. You may have a lot of firms located in one region. So it becomes very easier for them to acquire a lot of inputs, which may lead to save their time as well as save their money. So that is economies of concentration. Then you have economies of information, because many a times it's mouth publicity. So many a times employees of one organization may be speaking about the goodwill of their company, which may draw more employees towards that company. So the company does not have to make any extra efforts for attracting the best skilled manpower, which leads to economies of information. Then you have economies of disintegration. The firms do not have to make each and every part, they can outsource it. So outsourcing, specializing, or a franchisee taking up with the company, having a tie-up, is becoming very easy for the company to enjoy external economies. But there are problems. Problems may be related to excessive transport pressure. Like for example, if it is located far away from the city, then transportation can be a problem which the company might face because of its location. Like in Mumbai, many companies are closing down and setting up their offices away from Mumbai. So that may lead to diseconomies, external diseconomies of concentration, okay, shortage of skilled manpower, scarcity of power and raw materials. All these are the problems that the firms may face. So in this chapter, we have tried to make you understand that how this theoretically economies and diseconomies may lead to increasing returns to scale or decreasing returns to scale. So this theory actually supports the law of returns to scale. The target of the company is to always minimize the diseconomies and maximize the economies of scale. So with that, students, we have successfully completed this chapter. Thank you.